Conflicts in any relationship are inevitable, of course. Whether it's with a partner, friend, family member, or colleague, disagreements are going to happen as we all have different needs, perspectives, and of course, boundaries. I've noticed that conflict avoidance has become a bigger and bigger problem, I would say, since the pandemic. And I'm here to tell you, it is quietly wrecking your mental health and eating away at the foundation of all of your relationships. It's time to see conflict as an opportunity, not a problem. It's time to engage instead of running away. And it's time to be happier and more connected in all your relationships by learning the 5 steps to resolving conflict in any relationship. So stay tuned. I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, and I'm a practicing psychologist, number one Amazon best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and all-around relationship maven with over 35 years of experience helping people just like you. Join me as I teach you actionable tips and strategies to create connection, joy, and ease in all your relationships. So let's get to it. Hello again. So glad you're here with me. You asked, you got it. Conflict resolution. I do have a previous episode on negotiation, which I will link to everywhere that I link things. If you're watching below the video on YouTube or somewhere else, come over to the website. So, and at the end of today's broadcast, I will be telling you all about the Patreon that is starting in January, on January 13th. We have like some hard dates now. We have some real clarity, pricing, all that. So if you want to know about that, want to be part of that community, which I really hope you do, I'm very excited. I am overgiving, as I always do. I want it to feel incredible, like the best thing that's ever happened. So you can hear about all that at the end. All right. So I guess, as I just said, avoiding conflict, it's like allowing termites in the foundation of your house, right? In the foundation of your relationships. Unresolved conflict can lead to more stress, emotional strain, and from the research, even physical health risks. And we know that people who avoid conflict are more likely to experience long-term dissatisfaction in their relationships, which means more resentment and more disengagement. Again, as always, I'll link to all the research and the studies on the website. You can go over there or below the video, or one of the pluses in Patreon will be all that, but we'll talk about that later. So instead of avoiding conflict, I'm begging you, it is time to learn how to resolve it effectively so you can deepen those connections and raise your sense of self-worth and well-being. Studies have shown that people who manage conflict well tend to experience more fulfilling relationships, report lower levels of stress. I mean, it is time for that person to be you, right? So in fact, according to the research, disagreement in any type of relationship can create deeper understanding and growth if you resolve it. So before I get to my 5 steps, I want to talk about, there's a lot of conflict resolution frameworks, and I want to talk about 4 of them today. I want to touch on based on them because I've incorporated pieces of each one in my steps. I think what's hard for me about the conflict resolution frameworks is that they don't always, for me, feel like they exactly fit. So you know me, I read everything, I study everything, which I've done for years with conflict resolution. And then I try to boil it down in some easy steps that you can take without, am I following this framework? Am I following that framework? But I do want you to know that everything is evidence-based, because that's what I use here. So it's not just Abby coming up with like, here's a great idea. It is what I'm taking from all these different models and then sort of zhuzhing together in a way that I have found works very well for my clients. And again, this is clients in the business world, in organizations. This is clients individually. This is couples. This is all kinds of people in all kinds of situations, which is why I say it applies to any relationship. Okay. So the first framework that I think is the most famous, I guess there's a lot of famous frameworks when it comes to conflict resolution, but that I want to talk about is active listening. And I mean, I think you could argue that active listening is the foundation of any and all effective communication, more or less. It was developed by Carl Rogers, who's sort of our one of our daddies, maybe a zaddy, a daddy of psychology. He was the father of what's called humanistic psychology, which sounds sad that you have to say humanistic psychology. Shouldn't all psychology be that way? But no, you know, before him in like the 50s and 60s, it was like sort of more pathologized. It wasn't really listening to the client. It was more like and remember, it was almost all MDs at that time, psychiatrists. It wasn't psychologists even as much. But it was at a time when it was like, I'm the expert and I tell you, I'm the one coming to you. And Rogers really helped us see that we could actively listen and we can really get to know our clients differently and see them as humans who are get to have the dignity that every human deserves in the session. So it was, believe it or not, a huge breakthrough, which again sounds sad as I say it out loud. Okay. So Rogers really is one of the founders of active listening. And he says that active listening requires us to listen, how do you say it? Like not just with our ears, but with our full hearts, you know, our full presence, being really present. We should show genuine interest in the other person's perspective. Again, scary that this was groundbreaking back then. Okay. Just want to say that, but it was. And we've done a lot of research on active listening since, and we found that it can really help de-escalate conflicts by, you know, you demonstrating empathy and understanding, which of course, in turn, encourages the other person to lower their guard and really, really engage in a more open dialogue, which is what we're looking for. And so I can give you something. The most common or simple example would be, you know, let's say you're having a conflict with a friend, and instead of just jumping in with your perspective, you know, your thoughts on it, you would try repeating back what you heard your friend say, you know, what I heard you say was, and you'd say it. And then you could say, did I get that right? And believe it or not, again, lots of research on this, this small action can really validate the other person's feelings and build a foundation for understanding. So active listening, when we talk about the five steps, will definitely be in there. The second really very popular, and this had a lot to do with conflict resolution in politics and in businesses, it's called nonviolent communication or NVC, and it was developed by a psychologist named Marshall Rosenberg. And it's a framework that emphasizes empathy, clarity, and respect. Okay, so the key elements involve that you would observe without judgment, you would identify feelings, you would express your needs, and you would make clear, respectful requests. Okay, so you can hear a lot of mindfulness in there, can't you? And identifying your feelings and speaking them, so which is really huge. Which I'm actually not going to go too deep into when I go on my five steps, but it's certainly incorporated. And of course, there's a lot of studies with nonverbal communication showing that it can help reduce workplace conflicts, but also improve family relationships by facilitating this honest yet kind communication. So again, let's say you're in a disagreement with your brother, okay? And instead of accusing him, he took your car without asking. So instead of accusing him of being selfish, you might say, you know, when you borrowed my car without asking, I felt frustrated because I need to plan my own transportation. In the future, could you ask me first, right? So there's identifying feelings, there's a mindful, kind request, right? All of it is in there. I think I did that perfectly, actually. Okay. The third one I want to mention is emotional validation. And of course, that has been, there's a ton of research by the amazing John Gottman and his wife. The Gottmans there's been a ton of research on emotional validation. I'll make sure I link to it that they've done in, because they're famous marriage researchers. And it really, what they've shown over and over is the importance of acknowledging the other person's feelings without offering solutions right away or criticizing in any way. And their research shows that couples who practice validation during conflict are more likely to feel close and satisfied in their relationships. Okay, I know. So validating someone's emotions doesn't mean you agree with them. Remember, it just shows you recognize their perspective. I feel like that's where people get really hung up. They think it means I agree and I don't agree, that you should think this way, whatever. And so I'm trying to think of how to use it. So like in a, let's say you with, I haven't done work yet, have I? Like, so let's say there's a workplace conflict. You might say, I can see that this project means a lot to you and that you feel strongly about it, right? When you're in a conflict, that you're validating the feelings as the person is there. And so your colleague is going to feel valued and heard, right? And that, of course, can pave the way for a more constructive conversation about the fact that you have differing opinions. Or if you are arguing with like your partner, you know, you might just say, I can see how upset you are. I get that you're angry and not feeling heard. And then, but don't go into rebutting or, yeah, but I was listening or, you know, anything else. Just you say it without the solution of the criticism on the other side. You just leave it there. You just validate the emotion. Yep, see this emotion. And then the fourth framework, conflict resolution framework, I want to talk about in the last one, and there's many more, don't get me wrong, is reframing and perspective taking. And reframing is, and I've talked about reframing 100 times, right, on the podcast. It's about shifting your mindset to view the, but in this case, to view the conflict as an us versus the problem instead of a me versus you. Okay, so that is a huge shift in mindset, a huge reframe for how you're approaching it. It's an us versus the problem instead of me versus you, right? So the problem's out there. And I like that one a lot and I've incorporated it. And there's been a lot of research on perspective taking, and it shows that when we try to understand another person's viewpoint, it reduces biases, and enhances empathy. So if, you know, this is good stuff. So if you're in a conflict with, again, let's say maybe your partner or a friend, rather than viewing the argument as a sign of the relationship weakening, you might reframe it as an opportunity to understand each other's needs more, your each other's preferences better, and seeing it as strengthening your bond, not getting in the way of your bond. So really good stuff. Okay, hopefully that all makes sense. Okay, so these are all the places I'm taking things from. So any of the research is going to be linked to all that, not to my 5 steps, because these are things that I've sort of created from that. I always want to be crystal clear where things are coming from. And by the way, I want to throw in a quick plug that I really appreciate the beautiful emails I get from you and DMs letting me know how, you know, the information you get from me is really changing your life for the better. I read everything. I so appreciate it. And I also want to really ask that you please leave a review for the podcast. I mean, send me an email. I love it. But then just copy and paste that more or less. On Apple, you can do that. On Spotify, you really can't leave a review in the same way, but or comment under a video with it, or you know, put it somewhere that's like where, again, the reviews, getting more reviews for the podcast is always wonderful, and it's just a great way to help. And as I always talk about, our relationship is reciprocal. I am giving, and I am happy to give, and I am here to give and serve. I am here to serve. And if you just sit and take, that is called entitlement. And I never am a fan of that. This is a reciprocal relationship. So, and you feel better when you give back. You feel like you got so much from me. You're going to feel better when you give back. So if you want to go buy a mug or one of my books, great. But if you don't have a penny and you don't want to spend a penny, I am still here. We are still in a relationship. And so again, you can do these other things that are free that just take up some of your time that would help me immensely and help other people hear about the podcast or, you know, what we have out there. And that's how we are creating world peace. So be a part of the solution, I always say. And thank you. But no matter what, thank you so much. It just always feels weird when I get a beautiful email and then I'm like, hey, could you write up a review for this? It just feels weird in the moment. Like I'm not really taking in this beautiful thing you've said. And trust me, I am. And sometimes I ask and sometimes I don't. I shouldn't feel uncomfortable about asking, I guess, but I don't know. It just, please just do it without me asking. How's that? Okay. I appreciate it. Love you. All right. So let's talk about the 5 steps to conflict resolution. And I think we can all agree that the key to a healthy conflict in a relationship is its resolution. So to me, this means that there's no lingering hostility, lingering frustration, lingering resentment on either side. And that can feel difficult to accomplish, but it's very, very possible if you follow the steps. So here are the 5 steps. You ready? So step one is to agree on my 5 agreements. See, step one has 5 within it, but they're quick. Okay. So here's the 5 agreements. And I would encourage you to say these out loud. Again, these aren't the 5 steps. This is step one, but it has 5 agreements within it. I would encourage you to say these out loud to one another or even post them somewhere so you can come back to these agreements. I think they're really important in general in your relationship, not just if you like had a fight and you're trying to resolve it. These need to be agreed upon verbally before you jump in, okay? If you want to have somebody sign something, if you want to get that formal, go for it. I don't know that you need to, but if you need to, do it. I don't judge. So the first thing you have to agree to is a win-win mindset, which I think I've already spoke to it. Again, you can see how it's coming from the research, right? It's not, how can I make the other person agree with what I want? You know, that's not what you're thinking going in. It's how can we get to a resolution we both agree to? So you have to feel like if it's not a win-win, it's not going to work. And there are ways to get to win-win. So, but you have to have that first. The second agreement is to start the conversation for yourself. What do I always say? Looking to learn something, not prove something. And this is where active listening really comes in. You're agreeing upfront that you want to listen to understand, not to rebut. You're not listening so you can go, oh yeah, but no, but this, but that. Nope, there's no rebutting, no rebuttal. You shouldn't have any rebuttal in your head. You should just be, again, active listening. What do I always say? Listen like you're wrong. That should be part of this. Number three, the third agreement is that you want to set a time to discuss whatever this is. If it's a conflict, like a true conflict, you really, it deserves specified time. Don't speak late at night when you're both exhausted. I don't know who came up with never go to bed angry, but it is such BS. I can't even tell you. You are much better off going to bed angry than saying more things which can irreparably damage your relationship. And that's what happens. If it's 2 a.m. and you've been arguing for hours or your partner woke you out of a dead sleep because they couldn't stop, you know, they couldn't sleep themselves. No, 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 babe. No, no, no. Baby, I love you. I love you. Stop that. So do not do that. It's better to go to bed angry, get as much sleep as you can, take some melatonin, do whatever you got to do, or whatever you might have, or listen to one of my fabulous meditations. Do something free on YouTube. Do something so you go to sleep, or if best you can. Otherwise, you really will create more issues. Don't speak about this stuff. Also, I'll tell you, and I've had many people tell me this, you often wake up less angry, so the conversations go better anyway. You're not in the moment of all that kind of hyper-vigilant language. Your emotions aren't on high alert. And the other thing connected to this is don't speak for hours about something. You know, set aside an hour and accomplish what you can in that time. You should be able to, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say should. I would like you to work towards a goal of being able to resolve conflicts effectively and efficiently, which means that if you stick to my 5 steps, you will be able to move through them quicker than circling the drain over and over. Okay? Okay. If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself.
but I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Number four, this is still step one in the five agreements. Okay, five steps, five agreements first, and step one is to stay solution focused on only this issue. I see when people start talking, especially if you're talking late at night, you know, or you're starting to get into some conflict resolution, that people start to bring up the past or, you know, something you did 10 years ago. And you really, or they just start blaming you, you know, for why this isn't going well. So we want to shift from blame to solutions. You know, don't bring up other issues related to this one. Don't go tit for tat. Well, you know, this might be bothering you, but what about what's bothering me? You know, like, nope, we're doing this issue only. If you want to set up a time to talk about that other issue or your issue or this other issue I have, we can do that, but we're sticking to this right now. Okay. And then the fifth agreement is no labeling the other person. This makes me a little crazy in my counselor heart. You know, I love you so much, but boy, lots of you do this and it's so unhealthy. And of course I've done it too, but I really work on not. You can't label the other person. What I mean by that is don't call the other person selfish, or you're being selfish, you're bipolar, or you're angry, you're full of rage. You know, don't label them. You don't know what's going on. Okay. And even if you did, it's not helpful. Does it help you when someone tells you you're selfish? And I know what you're thinking. You're like, well, Abby, I'm not the selfish one. I know. But to them, it seems like you are. Okay. So do not call the other person. It's like calling them a bitch or something. It's like calling them a name. As far as I'm concerned, it's critical. It's criticizing. It is labeling. It is judging. It is so judgmental. Stop it. And it is your point of view only. Your point of view. It does not, if it helped, I would say to do it, but it not only doesn't help, it hurts and it hinders. Okay. All right. So that's step one, the five agreements I want you to agree to first. If you can agree to those things first, going in, I'm telling you the energy will 100% shift. You will find that you're in such a different place having the conversation than you, when just starting on those terms. And even if you've done this before, reiterate the terms. I do have a couple who uses these pretty often, but they always reiterate them first. They'll say them out loud to each other, which I think is brilliant. That's the best way. And they just really look at each other and get like, yes, we're not just reading this, we're integrating this right now. Okay. Step two is to focus on yourself, not them. I know no one likes to hear this. There's a really good book I read called Getting to Yes with Yourself. And it is by Harvard Negotiation Project co-founder William, I think it's Uri, it's U-R-Y. I apologize if I said your name wrong, if you're listening. But I just said I loved you, so that should go a long way. If anybody knows him, let him know. I think he's amazing. He says that our biggest obstacle in any negotiation, which this is, right, we're negotiating in a conflict, is ourselves. So, you know, we're always blaming, oh, it was a bad time, or, you know, you're blaming your partner, you're blaming the dog, your lack of power, you know, but it's really you that gets in the way of your success the most. And I say this with all the love in my heart, of course, because you know I love and adore you. This happens to me too. It happens to all of us. He says that we We sabotage ourselves by reacting in ways that don't serve our true interests. And that's exactly what happens, right? You can relate. I know you can relate because you revert back to old patterns and behaviors when you're trying to resolve a conflict and you're acting defensively. You lose your temper. You say yes when you meant no. You withdraw instead of being assertive. You get angry or impatient, right? I know. We all do it. And that leads us to make choices or concessions that we regret later on. And so it's really important that you are right here, right? That you get that. So learning to be more self-aware, understanding your own unhealthy patterns and your cycles is really the first step to making that stop. And you know, I will link to them. I have tons of episodes on self-awareness and mindfulness. If you get The Boundaries Made Easy, my last book, I have a whole chapter in there on mindfulness and self-awareness, two different chapters. The Boundaries Made Easy workbook, by the way, will be out. I can't remember when this was. This is getting dropped in November. I record these earlier. This particular episode's in November. The workbook's coming out in December, so of 2025, whenever you're listening to this. So it's just so important to understand your patterns, to really know yourself. And if you keep doing what you've always done, right? What are you going to get? You're going to get what you always got. So it's time to work on your self-awareness, you know, really diligently working on raising your emotional intelligence and your emotional regulation, really working on your emotional regulation. Again, I'll link to all those. I've done episodes on all of those things. I will link to them. Okay. So go listen. And it's really crucial to note how you're feeling and get yourself to a good feeling place before you have any conversations where you're trying to resolve a conflict. I would say that's the biggest thing, piece to understand. If you're in a bad mood, if you're anxious, if you're overwhelmed and you try to have a conversation, not going to happen. You're already in the fear side of your brain and we want to resolve the conflict. So make sure you're in a strong, healthy, calm place first. Okay. So that's all you, starting with you. It's all about you. That is step two. Okay. Get to you. Step three is to state your intentions first. I talk about intentions a lot. I have a wonderful video on YouTube called the 18 second shift. Cause on average it takes 18 seconds to set intention. I can't help you if you don't have 18 seconds. Okay. So you want to start any conversation with setting a conscious intention or goal. You could have a goal being curious in some way. I talk a lot about, again, setting intention and getting yourself ready for these types of conversations. I have a really great episode called How to Listen Without Getting Defensive or Hurt. Again, I'll link. You know, I have another one about what to do when the other person always gets defensive when you're trying to talk to them. You know, I got a lot of these. So there's a lot of good information I have. Please go spend time there. But for now, I want you to realize you have to spend some time beforehand getting yourself into that good feeling place. So again, don't go in anxious or worried. The other person picks up on that and you're just going to be screwed before you even start. So instead, you want to focus on how you want that conversation to go, not on what you're afraid might happen, because that's what happens. That's why people avoid conflict. They're like, oh, he's going to say this, he's going to get mad, this is going to happen, they're going to hate me, they're going to abandon me, they're going to reject me. Not helpful. So that's what might happen. Instead, decide how you want it to happen and say it out loud. So start the conversation. Listen, I love you. This is hard. But it's my intention to listen. Could be a friend. It's my intention to listen to you with an open mind and an open heart. Maybe it's a coworker. It's my intention that you'll feel heard and understood. It's my intention with your partner, maybe. It's my intention that you and I will both walk away from this conversation feeling more connected and more bonded than ever. It's my intention to stay mindful throughout this conversation and notice any unwanted feelings, right? Notice my feelings, how I'm feeling in a moment. It's my intention to focus on being patient and asking questions instead of making statements, right? You're, again, I think the most important intention is to listen like you're wrong. You know, it's my intention to listen like I'm wrong. It's my intention to actively listen to what you're saying and ask really healthy, good questions. It's my intention that we will both walk away feeling so good after this conversation. You know, these are, talk about setting things up to win. This is the way. Okay. So you got to do the intention. I'm telling you, it's a game changer. Everyone tells me, of all the things I've taught in the last 40 years, I would say that setting intention, I want to say it's the biggest game changer. I really do, because it's the one my clients over and over and over. And it's so simple. It seems too simple to work, but it does. And it's based on the science. I've told you 100 times this work of Timothy Wilson, where our conscious brains process information at a rate of 40 bits per second, while our subconscious processes information at a rate of 11 million bits per second. You should know this by now because you've been listening to me for so long. But if you're new, I'm repeating it because I always have a lot of new listeners. We're always growing. Thank you. Which means that people pick up on all that energy subconsciously that you're putting out. So if you're worried and you're anxious and you're scared, you know, that really gets in the way. But when you can align your energy and have that intention and do those agreements first, now we're all aligned in those 11 million bits. Because you can, you know, we've all been in that meeting hearing someone talk all the talk, and the whole time we're like, they're full of crap because of the 11 million bits. So everything has to be aligned. All right. Step 4, I think, is another big game changer, and that is to change the paradigm, okay? So here's my experience with all of this, is that when we are in a disagreement with another person, right? We're in a conflict, a disagreement, that everyone tries to do the talks along a line, all right? So I want you to picture just a line where, you know, a horizontal line, and you're at point A and they're at point B at the end of that little horizontal line, right? And so the two of you are playing kind of an imaginary tug of war along that line. You're trying to pull them towards your way of thinking, and they're trying to pull you over towards their idea of what's right or the best way to do something. And of course, we naturally resist because we don't want to lose. And we're thinking like, no, you're going to win. And in my experience, people always feel like they gave up more than the other person. And that gets us into a lot of trouble, because then you get the lingering resentment. You don't get a full buy-in. You get passive aggressive behavior. And so I don't think people really can find a space along that line. I want you to change the paradigm. I want you to think about conflict resolution as a triangle. Okay. It's a triangle. You're down here at point A. The other person is down on point B along the base of the triangle, but you're both looking up towards point C at the top of that triangle. You don't look at each other. You're looking up, because what's up, what's at point C, is something you haven't thought of yet. It's something that hasn't even been discovered yet. And I know a lot of times when we're arguing with someone or having a disagreement, it seems like there's only two choices, right? That it's either my way or your way. Our kids are going to go to private school or public school. We're going to move to this town or that town. Whatever the decision is, it seems like it's often polarized, that we should have all these pillows on the bed or not. Okay. And instead, when you look at the triangle, what happens is you're both brainstorming towards a new idea together that neither of you has even thought of before. You're going to approach this as neither of you being right, but instead as a discovery and brainstorming mission. Neither of you knows yet where it might end up, but point C is something you both buy into. And I will tell you, even if you end up deciding on your way or their way at the very end, you know, or whoever's initial plan there was, this process of really open inquiry and collaboration, it ends up ensuring buy-in from both of you when it's all said and done. Okay? And you know you're brainstorming effectively when you come up with many more solutions and ideas than the two sides you started with. There are always many, many answers to any issue. So make sure you're allowing yourself, you know, the freedom to really expand your thinking, to really wonder. So, you know, instead of thinking, we have to live in this town or this town, you can, well, where else could we live? Or could we live in both? Or, you know, could we both quit our jobs and go traveling for a year? Could we, but I don't know. Like, there's a million things you can do. I want you to say crazy crap. We can go live on a boat. Let's get a houseboat and travel. Just say any dream you have, anything you could possibly think of. If you're thinking of private school and they want your kids to go to public school, what else is there? We could start a charter school. We could start our own school. We could have the kids maybe go to a religious school instead of a secular school. We could have the kids homeschooled. We could travel and they could do school on a boat. I keep saying boats. It's not like I'm in that boats, but you know what? I mean, we could have them not even go to school, raise them feral in the woods. I don't know. There's a million options, more than this or that. And as soon as you're in this or that language, that's how you sort of know you're not brainstorming effectively. So start to brainstorm. Start to really go to each other. Okay, so yeah, those are two of the ideas, public or private, but what else is there? Let's get crazy. And if you can't think of anything else, you're not ready to have this conversation. I say with love, because you know I love you. But you're not ready to have the conversation if you can't even think of that. Think of five more options. And as you do that, you really start to collaborate together and think of other things like, oh, if we did this and what about that? And that starts to open our mind even to each other's stuff, right? And then you can get to step five, which is to ask collaborative questions. And I talk about, right? And by the way, I have a list of collaborative questions that you can download. And by the way, that's going to be one of the fun things on Patreon. All this stuff is going to be in one place for you, but I'll get to that when I finish. I want you to ask collaborative questions. How many times have I talked about don't sack, SAC, your relationships? Don't offer suggestions, give advice, or criticize, right? In this, or any conversation, really. Instead, you're going to be curious and ask collaborative questions with the intention of having a better understanding of what the other person wants and needs. Do you understand? Are you hearing? Your intention is to have a better understanding of the other person's wants and needs. What's driving their thinking? What's underneath what they're saying they want? Stay away from why questions, because that tends to put people on the defensive. Well, why are you thinking that? Why'd you come up with that? Not good. So that's why I have this list of collaborative questions. My favorite collaborative question, can you tell me more about what public school means to you? Like, let's talk about it. Tell me more. And then you should be leaning back and listening. Your energy should be receiving. I want you to make sure your body posture is open. I want you to really bring in, listen, and not get so wrapped up in how right you are. And if the other person was right, what would that mean? So can you tell me more about that? And keep asking that same question. Sometimes I ask that five times. They'll say something. I'm like, okay, so you think public education, there's more diversity. Okay. Talk to me about diversity for you. And sometimes the other person will get defensive. I had this kind of conversation recently with a couple I was working with, and she wanted a public school and she got kind of defensive. She's like, well, we all want diversity. What are you talking? You know, and I was like, no. We're just answering questions. There's no judgment, just asking. And so she really started to talk about that and some pain from her own childhood with not being in a diverse environment. And it was really such a deep conversation that her partner, another woman, was really listening and hadn't thought of all this, didn't realize the emotional connection she had to being in a diverse. So, but then, of course, it's like, oh, so is public school that you're attached to or diverse environment that you're attached to? Because you can be in a public school also in, you know, certain areas that feels very homogenous. So what is it, you know? And then they were really off to the races having an amazing conversation. Do you see that though? But they went from that one debate into all kinds of other stuff. So can you tell me more about is a great one. Can you say more about why you feel so strongly about whatever the thing is? That's another, you know, talk to me more. What's so strong about this? I think that's even the question that this woman asked her partner, which got those great answers. What do you mean by X? Can you give me another example? You know, those kinds of things. What's something I haven't asked that would help move this conversation forward? That's one of my favorites. I use that a lot in AI, which is really funny. If I'm using AI for something, I'll say like, you know, I use it for strategy sometimes. I can't really use it for this stuff because I don't know. I can't really figure out how to have my voice there. But anyway, but there's this way that I'll ask a question and then, you know, like if we did this kind of strategy and then I'll say like, what else do you need to know from me to be able to carry this task through? And it's such a great question. It's great. And I get all kinds of better answers and better strategy. So, but enough about that. In the end, you know, just make sure you're not making or holding any assumptions about what the other person thinks or wants. That's what you're trying to get rid of. You're asking questions with curiosity and you're not driving towards a conclusion. Okay. So I think that's what I want to say about that. You know, that's it. Those are the five steps. And I just want to say that when you shift your own perspective so you can see or even crazily embrace conflict as a growth opportunity instead of something really scary, you really change the game. You really change the game. When approached thoughtfully, lovingly, calmly, conflict can become really an avenue for growth rather than a source of stress. And when you have better strategies like this, you can really feel empowered to engage in healthy ways, in more compassionate ways. You know, you're really building your relationships on respect and empathy and understanding. So no matter what, again, romance, friendships, family, professional, you're learning to manage conflict effectively. And that's a skill that can elevate any and all of your relationships. So, okay. So there you have it. That is everything I wanted to say today about that topic. If you want to hang out and listen about Patreon, I'm really happy to talk about it. So let's get there. I'm doing the Patreon because I'm really looking to shift all of my work into just kind of doing the podcast. You know, like I've been doing this for 7 years as it's really just has been a side hustle thing for 7 years, 300 and something episodes. And I love it. It's my favorite thing I do. I really love working with my clients too. I can't imagine not, but, I want to deepen like what I get from my clients. I want to get with you in a different way. I'm like, how do I do that? So what we're going to do is Patreon is a paid membership. If you don't know what Patreon is, you can go to, I think, patreon.com, and we'll have lots of links when the time comes. We're planning to launch in mid-January, and there are going to be three tiers. And right now, there's three tiers. And so I'd love your feedback if you want something different in one of the tiers or something. And I feel like these are no-brainers for you. I really do. I'm pretty excited. So in the first tier, which would be $5 a month, you would get the podcast, the audio only. So not on YouTube, but, you know, audio with no ads. And that would start with all of season 7. So we're going to go back to the beginning of season 7 back in August. And all of these episodes will have no ads. Now, if you're listening to something in season 3 or 2 or 5, there's going to be ads. It's too much of a big job. There's, again, 300 episodes. But everything going forward, no ads. We're also going to offer early drops of the podcast. You're going to get it the Friday before. We drop the podcast in the beginning of the week, and instead, you'll get it the Friday before. We're going to have an online community group, which I haven't named yet. I would love some names. If you think of some good names you'd love, like, nothing like Abby's tribe or something, okay? That's not my thing. It's because it's not my tribe. It's us. It's all of us. So I don't want it named after me because I did ask privately some people and they all had my name in it. And I was like, no. Just the Love Collective. I don't know. Like something that's all of us, okay? And then, get this. And then if you prepay for the year, and I'll probably have like a free month in there if you prepay for the year. But if you prepay for the year, I've created a program called Five to Thrive, which is a relationship edition, which is, it's a email. It comes to you once a week as an email. We call that a drip. And for 52 weeks, and it's 52 lessons in relationships and how to be happier than them. So yeah, like don't sack your relationship is 1 week, but I have journaling prompts and I have it's little things to think about during the week. And it's meant to be only 5 minutes. So five to thrive, 5 minutes to really thriving relationship. And then there's a second tier. I know. So just that, which we're going to sell, by the way, for $19.99 on the website. So if you just think of that anyway, I think it's going to be great. So that's, you get all that for $5 a month. For $8 a month, you get everything in tier one. Plus, there's going to be a live Q&A with me once a month. There's going to be digital journal prompts or other bonus action tips for every episode. Okay, so you're still going to get, if you don't pay for anything, you're still going to get all the great stuff you've gotten. I'm not going to change the podcast or make it less. You know, now you have to pay. That's not my style. But I'm going to give even more. And then there's going to be a folder in Patreon with every episode with, you know, how there's, you know, downloads and worksheets and prompts and all this stuff that goes with the episode. It's all the resources. It's all going to be in one place. You don't have to go to the website or the podcast page or my relationship tips and tools page. You don't have to look under the video or whatever. You're just going to be able to go into your Patreon episode, whatever it is. And there's everything in one place. How great is that? And then I'm also going to include, right now I have a weekly love letter, which goes out once a week. And in this, at the same time in January, I'm going to start charging it's going to be free twice a month. And it's going to be $1.99 a month if you want to pay for the month of, people love the love letter. It's like an inspirational story or quick thing to keep you motivated during the week. That you won't have to pay to get it weekly. Okay. So you would get it every single week, not just twice a month. So you'd also get that. I know. And then for $12 a month, you get everything in tier one and two. Plus, I'm going to do an audio visualization download for you once a month. So you're going to get like me doing like a little audio visualization, something like stopping negative thinking or choosing wellness over illness or how to stop thinking about your ex or whatever. You're going to be able to have input into what I give the audio about. And then there's going to be a live Q&A with me 2 times a month. And my Learn to Meditate in 15 Minutes program included. So, and then there'll be deals also if you prepay for the year. So there you go. And I'm excited. I'm really excited to offer more, but mostly to be more connected to you, to have more places where we can talk and you can ask questions. And I'm really excited about the live Q&As. And that's how that's going to look. So that's going to start in Monday, January 13th, 2025. And I'm excited to build that community and really have a force for love and a force for effective research-based information. And again, if you choose not to come in, it's fine. The podcast will not change. You will not notice a change in the podcast. It will not be less. It will still be everything I have to give for free, always, because you deserve that. And if you, you know, don't have the means to pay or don't want to pay, that is fine. It's still here for you. Okay. All right. That is it. That's all my exciting news. I'm so happy you're here with me today. I love you. I love our connection. I'm grateful for it. I appreciate it so much. Really. It just fills my heart. I'm lucky. I'm a lucky gal. All right. Have an amazing week, and I'll talk to you real soon. Thank you for listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast with wonderful me, Dr. Abby Metcalf. And I've got two quick things to say. Just give me one more minute. First, I love spending this time with you, and I work hard to make sure every single episode is going to help you move from any feelings of frustration or resentment or anxiety to that connected, hopeful confidence. That's always my goal. So if you have any ideas for a future episode or just want to say hi, let me know what the podcast is doing for you. Anything. You can email me at abby@abbymetcalf.com. How simple is that? And the second thing I want to say is if you like the podcast, you're going to go crazy for my book. My book is really good. I'm really proud of it. You can find it on Amazon or on my website under the shop section on my website at abbymetcalf.com. It's called Be Happily Married, Even If Your Partner Won't Do a Thing. And even if your partner will do a thing, the book will still really help you. So that's it. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you soon.